Welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast, brought to you by the Nest Doulas. I'm Danielle Bensky, a mother and postpartum doula specializing in maternal well-being and psychology. Each episode, you'll hear eye-opening interviews with some amazing people who support families in Finland just like yours. We'll help you navigate what it means to birth in Finland, growing your confidence on your parenting journey. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now let's jump into our daily dose of birthing in Finland. Hello and welcome back to this episode of the Birthing in Finland podcast. It feels really strange to say that after over a year. The last episode I recorded was in May, where I was still pregnant and getting ready for my parental leave or stepping away from the podcast. And now I'm back here in January. It is snowing outside, definitely different than the May weather we had. Baby is taking a nap. So I'm going to see if I can record this episode at this time where I felt called to share this with you after having written down the birth story and taking my time to process it. I feel like I could be ready to share this with you. I also want to say, and I will be talking about this again later, that this episode, along with maybe one more episode, which will focus on the postpartum experience I had, will be the last episodes that I will be doing on the Birthing in Finland podcast, because I am moving with my family. We are leaving Finland, and I am moving to the Netherlands, to Amsterdam, which is actually where my parents live. So I have decided to make my village a little bit bigger and more supportive with two small children. And my husband and I felt called to give the Netherlands a chance. So we are going there. I do have a plan to start a new podcast over in Amsterdam, which is a little more focused on the postpartum and diving really deep into topics of postpartum and motherhood, parenthood, while I'm there. So if you are interested, you are so welcome to follow me. And of course, the Nest doulas are not going anywhere. They are staying here, and they are still so happy to meet with you and support you on your journey. So, yes, I want to get started with this birth story of my son. So this episode is going to talk about that. And the story actually begins in August of 2022, when my husband and I decided that we would like to start getting ourselves ready for having another child. We knew our doula, Rosalia, from the Nest for almost 3 years at this point, and I knew that she was going to be the person I wanted as my birth doula. And so the first thing I did was I contacted her for help to support us on our conscious conception journey. We started meeting with her and talking about nutritional preparation, which is something she's so good at, nutritional preparation for pregnancy, as well as emotional and spiritual preparation, getting rid of any, you know, energy that's stuck in the womb, and these kind of things that I felt called to do before conception. My husband and I were both keeping a food diary, and with Rosalia's guidance, we found out that we could be using a little bit more vegetables in our diet. So we learned so much from this journey. And as part of the conscious conception journey, I also felt called to connect with the soul of this baby. And I was taking time and actually writing letters to the baby. And I felt so intrigued to imagine that this little soul already exists somewhere and I could invite them. And this was also very beautiful for me because just 2.5 years ago, we lost my mother-in-law. She passed away in July, 2.5 years ago. And it felt really reassuring and connecting and spiritual and beautiful to imagine that this new soul that's coming into our life is somewhere maybe together with her soul. And even if he will not know her here, maybe he knows her there. And so I wrote this also in my letters, and it was really beautiful. We prepared our body for almost 3 months, which is the time that new sperm cells take to be rejuvenated or recreated. And after which we felt ready to start conceiving in a conscious awareness way. It didn't take long. And actually, pretty fast, we were pregnant. And then we fast forward 40 weeks minus one day. And this is when labor began. So from the first contraction, I recognized that this was going to be a bit different to the birth that I had with my daughter. The sensations were different. The pace of the contraction was different. And comparing between the two births was something that I kind of kept doing throughout, although it wasn't really helping me, to be honest. At around 2 a.m., I was waking up from a sensation, which I was still trying to figure out if this was contractions or not. Half an hour later, my daughter, who was three and three months at the time, she woke up crying that she had kind of peed the bed. She woke up and she said, "Oh yeah, I've peed." I woke my husband up and I asked him to change the sheets because I was, of course, 40 weeks minus one and I wasn't going to change the sheets. So as he was doing that, my daughter and I snuggled up together on the dry mattress that we have. That we have two mattresses, so we were on the dry mattress, and I was starting to pay attention to how I was feeling. I was like still unsure. When he made the bed and was kind of getting ready to lay back down, I said to him, "Oh, by the way, I think labor may be starting right now." And he laughed and was a bit puzzled. I said, "I'm not really sure." So we kind of started to look at the time and see, and then I realized that they were coming and going, and it was a pattern. And so I started feeling pretty confident that this was indeed the start of labor. My husband wrote to Rosalia, and she suggested to take some time and go into the shower and see what's going on. During all this time, my daughter Leah was clearly saying, you know, "Hey, I cannot go back to sleep." And so I laughed and said to Johnny, my husband, like, "Okay, this is labor. If she can't go back to sleep, then for sure." And then before getting in the shower, I had a few things I wanted to organize before I got into the labor land. I knew this was a chance that I could turn on, you know, my candles and the important things I had gathered for myself, affirmations that I didn't manage to hang up yet. I dimmed the lights and then I made my way to the shower just before I knew I wouldn't be able to come out of the birth bubble anymore. My husband stayed with me at this point. And then I asked him to wake up my mom, who flew in and stayed with us for the birth just a week before. So we turned down the lights, lit a few candles, and I started getting in my zone and moving. I would tell my husband whenever a contraction came, and he kind of wrote it down. And at some point, I just didn't need to tell him anymore. He could just see it on me really clearly. We brought the birthing ball into the shower, and I was on my knees and leaning onto the ball, which I put a towel on, and I was kind of like swaying from side to side. At this point, also, my daughter was already with my mom. From the shower, I then slowly waddled over to the bed, and I put on my earphones at this point, and I listened to a playlist that was actually created by the lovely midwife that I had, Ria. So again, on the bed, I was like moving around and making sounds and starting to disconnect from the world around me and go deeper inside myself to birth this baby. I started to feel that I wanted Rosalia by my side, and then poof, she arrived. I suddenly saw her enter the room and join me on the bed. And she was there with me making the grunting sounds, and it felt really reassuring and supportive. Shortly after that, I started saying that it was hard for me to find a position in which I could rest between the contractions. With my daughter in the first birth, I remember really like falling asleep between contractions. And here I couldn't really do that. And so to help with this, Rosalia quickly put up the birthing swing on which I could hang in the living room. I made my way there, and now I kind of kept only one earphone in my ear so that I could hear her and connect with her as well as the midwives on the way. So I was on the swing for a bit, leaning back and swaying while my mom and Leah were sitting next to me and watching. I remember at some point on the swing asking whether the pool is ready. And when they said it was, I was really excited. Made my way to the small room in our apartment. The pool was set up. I went inside. It was so relieving and calming. I was there for the remainder of the labor and the birth, actually. The water was a bit too hot, so we added some cold water. And the midwife was already here at this point as well. This is also the point where my memory gets a little bit blurry. I remember having very strong sensations that were hard to concentrate on. It felt really powerful and sort of hard to flow with, almost like they were bigger than me. And this is something that it was different to the first birth as well. The continuous support of Rosalia and the midwives, Ria and Kirsi, were so essential for me here. They didn't leave my side, and they kept encouraging me through each one of those contractions, reminding me that this is bringing my baby closer. And when I said, I'm not coping, they said, you are coping. You are doing it. I was breathing really intensely and mainly using the horse lips, which I read about in Ina May's book. The intensity of the contractions and the sensations made it hard for me to stay present with each one of them. Something that I felt I did pretty well in my first birth. And here it was more challenging. Another thing that I felt was distracting was that I found myself indeed comparing between these two births. Because I had done this before, I had a kind of blueprint of what I was expecting things to be like. Even in the moment itself, I knew how things would feel or could feel, and I was expecting for that, looking for that. That kind of made it harder for me to focus on each contraction as it is and to be in the moment fully. Also, even though I really wanted my daughter Leah to be at the birth, in the moment of the birth, I was surprised to find myself feeling a bit distracted by her presence. Having her there was very special for the entire family and for her understanding of birth and for her connection with her brother. And even though I'm so grateful and happy for all of that, there were also moments in the birth where I could hear her speaking in the other room, and even that felt distracting. It made it more difficult to focus on the contractions, go into them, breathe through them. And there were a few moments of quiet where I later found out that she was sleeping or watching something. And in those moments of quiet, I found myself more easily able to concentrate, relax between contractions, and feel the sensations as being less painful. Also, in this birth, compared to the first one, I didn't feel like I was able to sort of fly high into the bliss of labor, but that I was rather much more grounded in the here and now, sort of in the responsibility of already being a mother to my child, who was just right there in the room next door. Even though she was with my mother and she was very well cared for, it was hard for me to let go and completely enter the birth brain space like I did the first time. In the pool, I also started getting cramps, my gosh, in my thigh and mid-back. God, as if it's not enough to have contractions. And it felt so frustrating and defeating. So my midwives and doula were rubbing and trying to massage the area to help me, putting magnesium. And then it was also then that I started to feel like I was entering the moment of transition. And this happened multiple times. As if now was going to be the moment of pushing, but then it wasn't. It went away. And again, now would be pushing, but no, it went away. And this happened for a little while. I felt ready to push, but then the head was not coming down. I put my fingers inside to see if I could feel his head, but nothing. And the frustration was building up. Again, I had a hard time staying focused on the moment itself, and I found myself thinking about the sensations of the end as I remembered them from the previous birth experience. At some point, the pushing contractions got intense, and I was starting to really grunt and push. The midwife was encouraging me to push hard and strong. I was on my hands and knees and giving it my all. I remember also feeling supported by one of them to keep my knees in and my calves out, which is a position that really supports the bottom part of the pelvis to open. And actually, in the first birth, this was the moment that the midwife told me not to push so hard and to just breathe. So I was now feeling a bit confused. The instinctual thing I wanted to do was push really hard and grunt, but at the same time, I was also scared that this would be too intense on the baby and the perineum. So in this moment of this birth, when the midwife encouraged me to push as I was feeling called to do, that was really reassuring for me, and it felt really, really good. It felt like it took a long time for the head to come out, but once it did, I felt the midwife helping the rest of the body be born in the same contraction, for reasons I only found out later, actually, in the debrief. My baby was born, and I turned around to take him to me between my legs. But very quickly after that, the midwife asked me to come out of the water. And I was starting to understand that something wasn't exactly 100% right. They put my baby on the floor between my legs. I was squatting over him as we were still connected with the umbilical cord. They started rubbing him with a towel and started to do what's called milking of the cord so that all of the oxygenated blood from his umbilical cord would enter his body quickly to help give him a kickstart to breathing. In this moment, I was so grateful for having Rosalia next to me, and she was holding my hand and comforting me in this moment. I had watched plenty of birth videos, actually, surprise, surprise, to know that this kind of thing can happen and is quite normal. So after about, 10 to 20 seconds, maybe, our sweet baby boy started to react and cry. He was put back into my arms and we moved to the sofa in the same room. Everything continued so smoothly from this point. Leah came into the room, met her brother. I was given some snacks, which we made together with Marie-Andre, who was my postpartum doula. We prepared it actually during the pregnancy. Baby was feeding easily. The cord was totally white and was then cut. And we were slowly getting to know each other and just falling in love. I remember that it was in this moment that I started to feel like my vulva was on fire. I could feel the stinging and the sensations happening here, and I was okay. Yeah, I have given birth. It feels like I have just given birth. So throughout this whole time, I was asking if it's still okay that the placenta wasn't born, and the lovely midwives, Ria and Kirsi, kept reassuring me that everything is good and I can keep enjoying the cuddling. After the cord was cut, which again was my decision to cut the cord and give the baby to his father. So my husband took the baby to our bed, and I went to the toilet to birth the placenta. So we put a little bowl in the toilet and I pushed the placenta out into the toilet bowl. Into the glass bowl. The midwife then washed it and washed me and took the placenta and helped me wobble to the bed where my family was waiting for me, which was amazing. Then I lay down, put the baby on me, and the midwives then continued to give me all the information, all the choices over how I want things to happen. They asked me if I would prefer, what would I prefer to do first? So we first checked me and then we checked the baby. So I had a few small first degree tears, which I decided not to suture. We spoke about the location of the tear, and in order to help me decide, one of the midwives suggested I take a look at it. At first, I was a bit hesitant to look at my swollen, just given birth vulva, but I did it anyway. And it was quite funny to try and understand what the heck I'm looking at. Everything looked so out of place. So it was a real testimony of how amazing I am and what I am capable of. I put my postpartum diaper on and then we continued to check with the baby weight and so on. And I loved being in the comfort of my bed and my room. It was so cozy and homey. And then the baby and I both remained in our diapers in the very warm month of June for the next couple of weeks. The loving care of the midwives and the doula then continued actually into the first week after birth, where they both came to visit us on separate days. They talked to us about the birth, and in particular the moment at the end where I found out that the baby's heart rate had been decelerating during the end, which was why they wanted to have him out as soon as possible. They also shared that he was born with a cord around his neck, which made it harder for him to come down the pelvis and might explain why there were multiple moments of this transition back and forth. His position was also not so optimal, though I don't know exactly which position he was. And even though also just days before the birth, everything was great, so he managed to do some kind of turn there at the end. I had a lot of feelings around how this happened. And we really needed to talk through this with the birth team. So I was really grateful to have the support. And maybe also why I felt the need to wait almost 7 months before sharing this out there. For me to really understand what happened and why the midwives acted the way they did in getting me out of the water so fast or rubbing the baby. Because I felt it was a disruption to our immediate bonding. And it did take me a little bit longer to connect with him. The skin-to-skin contact that we did the weeks after the birth, I think, really helped me with that. And I remember that it was only around 6 weeks for me when I really looked at him and I felt like he's amazing and he's so beautiful. And that's something I didn't have before. And also compared with my daughter when I felt like I had that feeling straight away. I noticed in myself that I was feeling quite sad for a while at not having that moment of just holding him as he came out of the water looking at me. And when I think back, my first memory of seeing him actually there is when he was on the floor already and being kind of wiped with towels, and not before that. It all happened so fast, and I was still just getting over the fact that, oh my gosh, this is over, and I did it. And I'm really grateful. The midwives were so amazing at talking this over with us multiple times and really wanted to help us feel a sense of closure about it. I also started to have mixed feelings about being at home and having had a home birth. Like, on one hand, I was really grateful that I was home, because I know that if the same thing would have happened at the hospital, we would have probably been separated with cutting off the cord much earlier, rather than keeping it intact and using the umbilical blood to help him. I'm really grateful again for the midwives handling this situation in the way that allowed us to stay so close, and for me to see my baby and how he was recovering in a way that felt like I was part of the process. And at the same time, I was feeling nervous that I chose the home birth and feeling like, wow, thank goodness nothing else went wrong or worse. And I reminded myself that it didn't. I really had to consciously come back to this and do this process with myself and with the support of our team that, you know, nothing worse did happen. Worse things can always happen. But it didn't. And I'm so grateful and happy with the experience that we had and the care I received from the doulas and the midwives through the pregnancy, the birth, and in the weeks after. The quality of the care of the midwives was also especially clear to me when I went to the hospital for the 4 days after birth for the pediatrician checkup. Now, usually this pediatrician checkup is done before the family goes home from birthing in the hospital. But here I was, having birthed at home, needing to come especially into the hospital to do this checkup. And I was a bit afraid of this and feeling that it would be disruptive. It was disruptive, but it was June, so it was a little bit easier than if I would have to leave my home at this point when I'm looking out the window and it's snowstorm. But it was still disruptive. And in this experience, I saw the quality of this, of the care I had been receiving, because the pediatrician was less flexible, less understanding, less expressive and communicative with what she was doing to the baby, less patient. It was strange to be out of the house, walking around the hospital after I had just given birth. I remember walking so slowly and feeling so strange being there. Getting ready to leave the house felt unnatural for me. And even though I tried in the pregnancy to find a way to have this pediatrician checkup at home, didn't find anyone who was doing it. So the hospital it was. This birth experience taught me so much. And even though it took time to understand these lessons throughout, I was feeling, you know, what did I learn from this birth? It took me time and I'm still gathering those lessons. I feel like I learned to trust myself more in my decisions. I judge myself a little bit less in the moment. I learned that I am strong and powerful and capable. And even though I felt like in the labor I wasn't coping and I couldn't do it or wasn't doing it, I actually was doing it and I was coping. And I learned that once a mother, always a mother, and that my thoughts and responsibility to my children is so present in my life at the moment, and just seeing that come up in the birth was very powerful. And I'm very grateful that my son chose us as his family, and that we get to parent him now forever, you know, forever we will be his parents. And that is truly a blessing, and he's such an amazing little boy. I plan to share with you more on my postpartum journey, and that will be on a separate episode. So this has been the birth story of our baby boy that took place in June 2023. It was an amazing experience filled with love, filled with chaos, filled with confusion, filled with love, filled with joy, family, connection. So I felt really supported through it. And I think that's the main point that I love making in these stories with birth stories. In the end, a birth can go so many ways. And also from hosting the positive birth meetups, we mentioned this, that the birth can go so many ways. And in the end, what matters is the support that you have or don't have. Because a birth can be traumatic for many people without the right support. And then you see a birth that happens and there's so many potentially traumatic things, but the parents are not talking about it as if it was traumatic because they had love and care and continuous support and somebody there all the time and somebody giving them choices and somebody making them feel like they are part of the process, as I was made to feel because of the care that I received from my midwives and from my doula. So I am forever grateful to be initiated into being a second time mom in this way. And I really look forward to sharing with you the postpartum journey. So stay tuned for that second episode that's coming up really, really soon. And as I said, these two will be the last episodes of the Birthing in Finland podcast. The episodes are also not going anywhere. So if you do know anyone who is pregnant and doesn't have a clue where to start, please send them our way to the Nest and to this podcast. And we are so proud of the change we are making and the positive birth meetups we are creating, the community that is being built around us as doulas. Rosalia is doing amazing things for her community of clients, and it's just been an honor to witness and to be part of. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. And I really would love also to encourage you that if you are pregnant and listening to this birth story, then check out the ebook that I have just released recently on, it's called Prepped for Postpartum, on how to prepare for the postpartum experience, which I will also be talking about more in the next episode. You can find that on my website, www.motherstransition.com. There's a little tab called Prepped for Postpartum ebook, and you can find it there. You also receive a discount code. So if you type in podcast to the discount code, you can receive a 15% discount. So thank you so much for being here and for listening, and I'll see you next time. Hello again, lovely listeners. Just wanting to jump in and correct a little mistake I made. The code that you can use on the Prepped for Postpartum ebook is podcast15. Use the code podcast15 at checkout to receive a 15% discount on the Prepped for Postpartum ebook. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the Birthing in Finland podcast. To get the show notes for this episode, go to doulacollective.fi/birthing in Finland. If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and share this with someone who you think needs to hear it. A friend, a colleague, a neighbor. Help us get the word out so that more families can start enjoying these conversations. See you next time when I introduce you to another amazing person supporting families just like yours.